CD 7.
He went back to the thieves, who were looking very worried. "My client feels," he said, "that the situation could be resolved if you give the money back."
"Yes,"
said Boggis, approaching the idea as if it were a brand new theory of cosmic creation.
"But it's the receipt, see? We have to fill it up, time and place signed and everything."
"My client feels that possibly you could rob him of, let us say, 5 copper pieces," said Tom John smoothly.
"I bloody don't,"
shouted the fool who was coming round. "That represents 2 copper pieces as the going rate, plus expenses of 3 copper pieces for time, call-out fees."
"Wear and tear on Kosh," said Boggis.
"Exactly."
"Very fair, very fair."
Boggis looked over Tom John's head at the fool, who was now completely conscious and very angry.
"Very fair," he said loudly. "Statesmanlike, much obliged, I'm sure."
He looked down at Tom John.
"And anything for yourself, sir?" he added. "Just say the word. We've got a special on GBH this season, practically painless. You'll barely fear a thing." "Hardly breaks the skin," said the older nephew. "Plus you get a choice of limb."
"I believe I'm well served in that area," said Tom John smoothly.
"Oh, well. Right, yeah, then, no problem."
"Which merely leaves," continued Tom John, as the thieves started to walk away, "the question of legal fees." The gentle greyness at the stump of the night flowed across Ankh Morpork. Tom John and Howell sat on either side of the table in their lodgings, counting. 3 silver dollars and 18 copper pieces in profit, I make it," said Tom John.
"That was amazing," said the fool. "I mean, the way they volunteered to go home and get some more money as well, after you gave them that speech about the rights of man."
He dabbed some more ointment on his head.
"And the youngest one started to cry," he added. "Amazing." "It wears off," said Howell.
"You're a dwarf, aren't you?"
Howell didn't feel he could deny this.
"I can tell you're a fool," he said. "Yes, it's the bells, isn't it?" said the fool wearily, rubbing his ribs. "Yes, and the bells."
Tom John grimaced and kicked Howell under the table.
"Well, I'm very grateful," said the fool. He stood up and winced. "I'd really like to show my gratitude," he said. "Is there a tavern open around here?"
Tom John joined him at the window and pointed down the length of the street.
"See all those tavern signs?" he said.
"Yes, gosh, there's hundreds."
"Right. See the one at the end, with the blue and white sign?"
"Yes, I think so."
"Well, as far as I know, that's the only one around here that's ever closed."
"Then pray allow me to treat you to a drink. It's the least I can do," said the fool nervously. "And I'm sure the little fellow would like something to quaff."
Howell gripped the edge of the table and opened his mouth to roar, and stopped.
He stared at the two figures. His mouth stayed open. It closed again with a snap.
"Something the matter?" said Tom John.
Howell looked away. It had been a long night.
"Trick of the light," he muttered. "And I could do with a drink," he added. "A bloody good quaff."
In fact, he thought, why fight it?
"I'll even put up with the singing," he said. "What was the next word? Scold, I think. Oh."
Howell looked unsteadily into his mug. Drunkenness had this to be said for it. It stopped the flow of inspirations.
"And you left out the gold," he said.
"Well, said Tom John.
He was wearing the fool's hat. Howell considered this.
"I reckon,"
he said, concentrating,
"it was between the gold and the gold. And I reckon,"
he peered